You would the First John. We'll continue our study here tonight. The name of the message is God's Witness and Record. God's Witness and Record. Now we have seen in our study of this wonderful book that John, who is an eyewitness and an ear witness to the things of Christ, he's writing again to God's born again, blood washed saints. Called a general epistle. It's not written to any church in particular, but it's written to the people of God. And it's penned by John by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. And it's again written to those blood-washed people, those who are born again by the Holy Spirit, those who have been purchased by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. That's who this book is written to God's people, His elect. And John states again by inspiration of the Holy Spirit in chapter 1 that he is writing this letter that our joy may be full. Look at verse 4 in chapter 1. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. And how the joy has flooded into our souls as we've studied this book. Studied the Word of God. And we who are again the blood-washed saints of God, we have read and studied some of the truths that are proclaimed in this book. And they're wondrous to the believer. They're absolutely wondrous to the believer in Christ. Think of this. The fact that we have fellowship with God, with the holy, righteous God of the universe, the believer has fellowship with God in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the fact that we have an advocate. What a precious truth that is to the believer. That we have an advocate in heaven. And you know what his name is? Jesus Christ the righteous. Look at verse 1 of chapter 2. Look at this truth. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, which we will and we do, look what it plainly states here. We have an advocate. We have a mediator, beloved. An advocate. With the Father. Now remember, we can't stand in the Father's presence on our own, can we? No. But we have an advocate, beloved. And his name is Jesus Christ the righteous. The only one who's ever been righteous. And the one who we are clothed in his perfect spotless righteousness. And then, oh, what joy fills the believer's soul when we find out and study and have revealed to us that God himself, the holy sovereign God of the universe, sent Christ to be a propitiation for our sins. Oh, what joy fills my heart when I think about that, when I meditate on it and contemplate that, that Christ was sent by God the Father to be a propitiation for my sins. He's sinless. He's perfect. He's spotless. The only reason he's dying on that cross is to pay for the sins of all of God's people when they're imputed to him. And God sent him to do that, beloved. And this truth is proclaimed. Look it over in chapter 3, verse 5. He was manifested. Why? He was manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. No sin in his life. No sin in his death. Perfect. Absolutely perfect. And think of this. That God's wrath and justice is absolutely extinguished against us. In Christ. It's extinguished, beloved. In Christ. And this is what I marvel at. That my standing before God and his eternal love for me is eternal. It's not based upon what I do. That's wondrous. And then think that he loved us even when we were dead in sin. He's loved us with an everlasting love, right? And he'll love us till everlasting. And think of this. If he's loved us from eternity, and he chose us in Christ in eternity, which he did. And Scripture says that God does not change. He don't change. So then his love for me and his love for you, beloved, is not based upon us. It's unchanging. And we've discovered that truth, right? Behold what manner of love the Father hath. Look at verse 1 of chapter 3. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. So we've learned these precious truths, and they're marvelous. They're marvelous. You never grow tired of hearing of them. I never grow tired of hearing of God's everlasting love for me. It just leaves me in awe. It puts me in the dust. It's amazing. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. And then look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. Look at this. Our sins are forgiven for his name's sake. Look what the Scripture says there. 1 John chapter 2, verse 12. This is wonderful. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Now, there's a reason why we're going over all this. You'll see why. We're heading right to the record. This is the record. This is the record that God's given of his Son, beloved. We've been studying it. It's all through this word from beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation. It's a record of God's of who God says Christ is and who Christ says he is. And the fact that we have an unction from the Holy Spirit of God, we're taught of God, aren't we? We're taught of God. And we know when a man's lying to us. We know. We've been taught the truth that salvation is in Christ alone. We've been taught that by the Holy Spirit of God. And we've been taught that no man comes to the Father except through Christ. Listen to this. 1 John 2:25. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. God himself has promised to his people eternal life. My. And don't forget, the one who promises that has the power and the ability to do what he promises. See, we have no ability and we have no power to change who we are. Right? His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He's so far above us, beloved. He has all power. All power. And so the glorious fact about the wonderful, unchanging love of God, which I hit on earlier, the eternal love of God, it's been set upon God's people from eternity. And the truth that we are born again of the Holy Spirit of God, renewed, regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God, and now we're called the sons of God. This is what the Scriptures declare. It's wonderful. And then again, the wonderful truth that we love him because he first loved us. Well, think of that. We love him in time. I was thinking about this today. We love him in time. Because he first loved us in eternity. Isn't that wonderful? It starts way back then, beloved. It starts way back then. And then in our recent study, let's look at verses 4 and 5 of chapter 5. We saw that we overcome the world in Christ. We overcome the world in Christ. Look at verses 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And how this makes us rejoice. How this makes us rejoice. We only overcome because of Christ. And in Christ. Now, ahead of us again, go over these wonderful truths, because that is the record that God gives us in the Scriptures. In this book right here. In this wonderful little book. And this book's all about Christ. Every book in this Bible is about Christ. It's all about him. And this little epistle here testifies of what we have in Christ, who Christ is and what we have in him. Again, this whole book, though, from beginning to end, testifies of our King. Right? Search the Scriptures, our Master told us, because they testify of him. They testify of him. My. And you know, the Gospel is a report. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. We're all familiar with this, but I'm going to read it. Who hath believed our report, Isaiah writes. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who hath believed our report? Well, the gospel of Christ, beloved, is a report. It's a report. And it's full of glad tidings and great joy. Glad tidings and great joy. Yet it is so very generally despised and scorned that the question is here put in Isaiah verse 1, who hath believed it? Who hath believed the report? Because it's scorned and rejected. Right? And then we consider who Christ is in himself and how essentially necessary he is to the salvation of his people. And it becomes a matter of wonder for we who believe that all men do not believe. Right? Do not embrace Christ. Do not embrace the record that's being proclaimed. Then, on the other hand, see, on the other hand, when we consider how sunk and fallen our nature is, the fact that we're dead in trespasses and sins, that we died in Adam, when he fell spiritually, we fell. Remember what Norm said? We work with the dead? That's just the dead spiritually. Well, when we fell in Adam, we're dead. And then and even to the total ignorance of our ruin in nature, we don't in our natural state, we see no need for redemption. No, we think we can gain merit and favor with God by what we do. We're so blinded to the things of God that we see no need for redemption, and we do not see our true state ruined. And then it becomes a matter of still greater wonder that any would receive it. Right? But nothing but the free and sovereign grace of God can accomplish this. Nothing but the free and sovereign grace of God can accomplish this in the heart of the believer. Salvation is of the Lord, and it is him that makes us willing in the day of his power, beloved. So if you're here and you're saved, you're born again, blood-washed believer, it's because God purposed it to be so, according to his will and good pleasure. Isn't that wonderful? Oh my, it's absolutely wonderful, beloved. Absolutely wonderful. So let's read our text tonight, 1 John chapter 5. We'll read verses 6 to 13 for the context, but our verses will be found in verses 9 to 12. Verse 6, this is he, being Christ, that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Total unity. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of man, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now we see that John continues to bring forth the witness from heaven in verse 9. Remember we looked at verses 6 to 8 last time we met. And now we see, though, that John continues to bring forth the witness from heaven in verse 9. If we receive the witness of man, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. So John brings forth in this verse the great distinction between the witness of man and the witness of God. And how the witness of God is far greater, far greater. Oh my. And we believe the witness of man and the witness of God. The believer believes the witness of man in reference to gospel preachers. And often in this life, do you know we give credibility to the witness of man? You know, every time you go to the doctor, you do? Right? You follow his instructions, don't you? You follow his instructions. And if you do that, then you're receiving the witness of man. Doctor looks at you and says, well, you need to do this. And we say, okay. Well, you need to take this. Okay. Right? Well, you're believing the witness of, you're receiving the witness of man. The wise men who followed the star received the witness of the prophets of God, didn't they? And Herod received their witness as he sent forth a decree that all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under were to be slain. So he believed their witness. He believed what they said. Believers in Christ received the words of John the Baptist at that time. They believed what John was saying about the Messiah coming. They believed him. Listen to this. Actually, let's turn there. John 10. John 10, verse 41 and 42. Look at this. John chapter 10, verses 41 and 42. John chapter 10. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him there. They believed what he said. They believed what he said. He said, the Lamb's coming. He's coming. He's coming. The Messiah's coming. And they believed. They believed on him. They believed what he said. The preacher of God is one mercy beggar telling other mercy beggars where to find bread. Right? And God's people believe the witness that gospel preachers give. We believe it. Because a gospel preacher, remembers, but a sinner saved by grace just like everyone else. There's life in Christ, in him alone, nowhere else. Flee to him. May God make you willing. Right? Yeah. And there exists, beloved, an even greater witness. Turn, if you would, to the book of Acts. The book of Acts. Acts chapter 17. There is a greater witness. Acts 17, verses 10 and 11. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night into Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than all those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. They heard what Paul said, then they searched the scriptures to see if it was so. Paul was preaching the gospel. Yeah. John, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God here, is not discounting the witness of man, but he's simply declaring that the value of their witness is to be assessed in light of what God has declared in his word. So he's contrasting the witness of man with the witness of our great sovereign God. That's what he's doing here in verse 9. And the witness of God is greater, far greater, beloved. Far greater. It's the greater witness that gives credence and value to the lesser. You see? It's the greater witness that gives credence to the lesser. What I preach is the gospel. But the greater witness is God. And I proclaim Him. And so He gives witness to the lesser. He gets the glory, beloved, because it's all about Him. It's all about Him. All about Him. Now note, in the latter part of verse 9, we see the plainness of speech which is brought forth here. As we're seeing in the next few verses, the witness of God. Now look at this. For this is the witness of God, in the latter part of verse 9. For this is the witness of God, which He hath testified of His Son. Now notice in the text the narrowness of this greater witness. Do you notice the narrowness of it? It's the witness of God, which He has testified of His Son, period. Do you see the narrowness? What did God say at the Lord's baptism? This is My Son. This is My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. People often say we're really narrow-minded because we say salvation's in Christ alone. Well, that's what the Scripture says. So that's all we proclaim. It's not in us at all, is it? He says, I am the way. God testified of His Son. I am the truth. God testifies of His Son. And I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. There it is. And look what it says in this book right here. The latter part of verse 9. For this is the witness of God which He hath testified of His Son. There's only salvation in Christ. It's nowhere else. So if the witness of a number of credible men is accepted and believed by us, the Scripture here is declaring, how much more should we then receive the witness of God? How much more then should we receive the witness of God, which He has testified of His Son? And even the witness of the Father. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. I kept John open here because I know we're going back there. John chapter 5. Look at this. John chapter 5. Let's start in verse 31 and read to verse 39. Look at this. John 5, 31 to 39. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. He sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. Who did John bear witness of? Christ, who is the truth, incarnate. But I receive not testimony from man. See, his testimony don't come from man. But these things I say that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John. He's the one. Christ is the one that the Scriptures testify of. Right? I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. Just His miracles alone. And we can look back and see even what He accomplished on Calvary's cross. Only God could atone for our sins, beloved. And Christ is God incarnate in the flesh. And the Father Himself, which has sent me. Notice how He used to say the Father. I'm here to do the Father's work. The Father is the one who sent me. Right? Hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard His voice at any time, nor seen His shape. Now He's talking to Jews here. They're professing to know God. He says, you've not seen Him ever. You've not seen Him. You've not heard His voice or seen His shape. And ye have not His word abiding in you. For whom He hath sent, Him ye believe not. Oh, He just exposed them right there, didn't He? He says, I'm sent of God, and you claim to love God, but you reject the very one He sent. Now see, this is man by nature. This is all of us by nature, beloved. Right? And then look at this. Look at verse 39. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which, what? Testify of Me. The record is all about Christ. The witness of the Scriptures is all about Christ, beloved. All about Him. And again, God has not left Himself without a witness, beloved. And we have a sufficient witness for a firm and strong faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. All through this Word, God has testified of His Son. Again, He said, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That can be said of nobody else but Christ. No one else but Christ. Now turn, if you would, to John chapter 3. Just a couple chapters over. John chapter 3. Now remember this too. God's people, right? God's people, by God-given faith, believe the testimony of God. We believe what the Scriptures said and say. We believe it. We believe the witness of God concerning His Son. We believe the record of God concerning His Son. Look at this in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And here's the words of John the Baptist. John chapter 3. Verse 25 to 36. John chapter 3, verse 25 to 36. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizes all men, and all men come to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing. And note there that John testified of him. He bears witness of Christ. In verse 26 there. Verse 27, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Now look at that. You cannot receive salvation except it be given to you from heaven. You cannot receive Christ except it be given to you from heaven. See, salvation's of the Lord. It's all His doing, beloved. It's all Him. It's all Him. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before Him. He's the forerunner. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, being Christ, and we're His bride. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He must have all the preeminence. And every believer wants Christ to have the preeminence. He must increase and I must decrease. Oh my. He that cometh from above, look at this, is above all. Well, He came down from heaven, didn't He? And He died a substitute for His people on Calvary's cross, and He went right back up to heaven, glorified. He that is of the earth is earthly. That's us, natural man. And speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth. And no man receiveth his testimony. Look at that. Only by God-given faith do we receive the testimony of Christ. Only by the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit of God. He that hath received His testimony hath set to His seal that God is true. And set there is certified. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. We have the Spirit by measure. Remember I mentioned that a few weeks ago? He doesn't have the Spirit by measure. He's full of grace and truth, beloved. He's full. He's the God-man, mediator. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into His hands. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. My. So, beloved of God, we We know that God has invested all salvation in Christ alone. All the fullness of salvation that man may receive is in Christ and Him alone. His brother Scott Richardson said, I like this quote, God has put all His eggs in one basket, and that is Jesus Christ our Lord. Huh? The God-man mediator who came to this world to save His people from their sins. To save us? My. It's a wondrous message, isn't it? Wondrous message of salvation and grace of the gospel. It's absolutely wondrous. Wonderful. Let's now consider verse 10 here. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. So we see here that God's people, again, by God-given faith, regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, believe the witness that God has given of His Son. We believe it. We believe the Scriptures. We believe it. We don't understand it all. And we probably never will in this lifetime. I don't know anybody who's ever found all the truth in the Scriptures. But the little bit that we know, we just marvel in. We just marvel in it. And we believe it. We believe it, beloved. We believe the witness that God has given of His Son. Why? Because the Spirit of God is in us. It's in us. Look at that verse again. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. The Holy Spirit of God, beloved. The very author of the Scriptures. Oh my. We believe the testimony that God gives concerning His Son. Look at verse 13 and 14 in chapter 4. Go over to 1 John chapter 4. And look at verses 13 and 14. Look at this. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Oh my, we believe what God says. Because the Holy Spirit in us is wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. So the commandment there, look at the commandment, goes forth in the Scriptures to believe the testimony of God concerning His Son. And we know that if we believe the gospel, then all credit must be given to our great sovereign God. Because there's none that understandeth. There's none righteous. There's none that seeketh after God. So all the credit has to go to God if we believe the testimony. It all goes to Him, beloved. Salvation is of the Lord from beginning to end. Christ is called the Alpha, the Omega. The beginning and the end in Greek of our salvation. And He is. He is. And we believe also that the Lord Jesus Christ is God incarnate in the flesh, the very Word of God. The very Word of God sent by the Father, the second person of the Trinity, sent by the Father, came in the flesh and obeyed and honored the law of God for us and established a perfect righteousness in our place. Hallelujah! What a Savior! It's wonderful! Absolutely wonderful. My. And He is the one who's bought in everlasting righteousness. Everlasting righteousness. And everlasting justification for us. We'll never not be justified before God because we're clothed in the perfect, spotless righteousness of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? It's absolutely wonderful. And our faith is not just a religious creed. No, it's a heart experience. We've been given a new heart that hungers and thirsts after righteousness. We don't just believe a set of facts, but we believe the living Lord. We don't just believe a set of facts about Him. We believe the living Lord. We trust the living Lord. We rest in Him. Yeah. And it's been revealed to us by the Holy Spirit of God. The believer in Christ knows that we've sinned against God. We know that. And we know our insufficiency of our own righteousness, right? We know our righteousness is nothing before God. We know we have no ability to please God in our natural state or anything we do. We cannot atone for our sin. Not even one. Not even one. And we know the truth of the Scripture. We believe what our Master said in John 15, without me, you can do nothing. And we praise God. We believe the record that He's given of His Son, and we rejoice. We rejoice. The born-again, blood-washed believer has experienced the peace that passes all understanding. We have found true joy, beloved, and true rest. True joy and true rest from our labors, which labors there is trying to gain merit and favor with God. We found rest from that. We know we could never gain merit and favor with God. We found true rest, and it's in Christ. It's in Christ alone. And He is our all in all, like Paul wrote, isn't He? He's our all in all. Again, He's the one in whom the Father is pleased. And think of this. The Father is pleased with us if we're in Him. Isn't that wonderful? This is the best news for a sinner. The best news for a sinner. All my sins are forgiven. The Father's well pleased in me because I'm in Christ. Oh my. It's wonderful. Now take note at the chilling words of the latter part of verse 10. Look at this. Look at the chilling words here at the latter part of verse 10 in 1 John 5. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. Now think of this. We preach that salvation, as the Scripture proclaims, is all in Christ. Not one work of man. Because that's the record that God has given us in the Scripture, isn't it? And we believe that. We believe that. And the gospel preacher proclaims that. Now, take note again what's written here to those who do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They are guilty of the greatest blasphemy, as it is to God, not man, that he does not believe. And he has made the God of truth to be a liar, because he refuses the heavenly witness concerning Christ. Now, think of all the false teachers out there who add works to the completed work of Christ. Now, think of that. Well, think of the billions who do not believe the record which God has given of His Son. They're making God a liar. And then think of our natural state, beloved. And how we did not believe the record. We did not believe the testimony that God has given of His Son at one time. And then think of the mercy and grace which we have received. Think of the mercy and grace which God has shown us. And the only one who has made us to differ from the unbeliever spoken of in the latter part of verse 10 is God. My. The only one who's made us to differ is God. Our great sovereign God. We are born again by His almighty power. We're given faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have repentance before Him. We're washed clean in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Robed in His perfect spotless righteousness. And the only one who's made us to differ is God. Oh, what mercy. What mercy we have received, beloved. And God Himself has borne witness that salvation is in Christ and Christ alone. And this is why He condemns unbelief so severely, beloved. Is the glory of God is implicated in this, because the sin is against God. The sin is against God, who has borne witness that salvation is in Christ alone, all through the Scriptures. So for a person to hear the gospel and not believe is not just taken up in opposing religious opinion, as some men think. No, to refuse to believe the gospel is first to disobey the command of God. It's rebellion against God, beloved. It's rebellion against God. And we see that in our text. It's slander against God. It makes him a liar. It makes him a liar. So we can see that the unbeliever does not have the spirit of God dwelling in them because they don't believe the record that God has given of his son. Praise God. If you believe the record that God has given of his son and the Holy Spirit dwells in you, because it's only God who's made you to differ. It's only God. Nobody else. And we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ by God-given faith. Therefore, we can conclude that unbelief is denying the record that God has given us. In unbelief, there is rejecting the gospel, rejecting Christ. We struggle as believers with unbelief, don't we? That's a whole different story. But remember, that does not change our status with God. Because his everlasting love has been set upon us and we are clothed in the perfect spotless righteousness of Christ. That's what makes you marvel. Remember what Peter wrote? Lord, help my what? Unbelief. Yeah. That's Peter. Oh my. Let's read now verses 11 and 12. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. See the word record there? And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. The word record there in the Greek means evidence given. Evidence given, judicially or generally. The record, the report, the testimony, or the witness. And the word witness there means certification, testimony, that which someone witnesses or states concerning a person or a thing, such as when John the Baptist said this. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." He gave witness out. He said, "I'm not the Christ, but there's one coming. There's one coming." Also, the declarations of our very Lord and Savior concerning himself. He says this, "If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true." John chapter 5, verses 31 and 32. And then, a couple verses down, a declaration of a witness who speaks with authority of one who knows. Again, our master says in John chapter 5, verse 34, he says this, "But I receive not testimony from men." Remember we looked at that earlier? "I receive not testimony from men." No. "But these things I say that ye might be saved." And then look at 1 John 5, 9 to 11. John here refers to the record of witnesses as being the fact that God in his Son has given eternal life to believers. Look at this. Verse 9, "If we receive the witness of man, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." Now the record there again, that same Greek word is used over in Revelation chapter 1. If you want to turn there, you can. Revelation chapter 1. Let's do that. Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And look at this. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which just means the unveiling of Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants these things which must shortly come to pass, and be sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Here we go. Who bear record, same Greek word. Who bear record, evidence, testimony, evidence given, of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Then in verse 9 of Revelation chapter 1, look at this phrase is used again. Now note in Revelation 1:2 it says, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ. Then in verse 9, the same phrase is used again. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Well, the testimony of Christ, beloved, is the announcement of the gospel. It's a proclamation of the gospel. John was in prison because he was preaching the gospel. Or he was sent to the Isle of Patmos because he was preaching the gospel. The apostolic preaching of Christ is determined by the apostle's testimony of all things that he saw. He testified of Christ. Remember, he's an eyewitness and he's an ear witness. He is proclaiming Christ and who he is. And remember that the writer is John, both in the epistle we're studying, in the Gospel of John, and the book of Revelation. And this testimony that he gives concerns Christ. Concerns Christ and him alone. Again, it's based upon, never let us forget this, it's based upon personal knowledge. He saw him like we see each other. He heard him like we hear each other. And I love that part. He laid his head on his breast. He's called the beloved disciple. He never puts his name in there when he says that in his gospel. But you know it's John. You know it's John. And he gave witness to the things that Christ did. Now look at here and also in verse 11. Look at this in verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Notice in verse 11, eternal life is a gift. It's a thing given. Just again, we see it again. Salvation's of the Lord. It's given. It's given. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. That God hath given to us eternal life. He's given it to us. Oh, praise be to God. Praise be to God for the born-again believer. And this life is where? In his Son, the very object of our faith, the one who we look to each and every day. And he's given this, he's given eternal life, beloved, to those who are the sheep of the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the people of God have been given eternal life through the gospel, and the evidence of that life's existence is faith, beloved, which is also a gift from God. And that faith rests and trusts and believes on the Son of God, based upon the record that God hath given of him. Isn't it wonderful? It just keeps doing full circles right back to our great God, doesn't it? Right? Everything. It all goes back to him. And remember, Christ is God incarnate in the flesh. Now let's read verses 11 and 12 one more time. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son, look at that, hath the Son. Oh, we have the Son, beloved. By faith, we look to him. And we're his by purchase. We have the Son. He has us, more importantly, doesn't he? And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Look at, he who hath the Son hath life, and he who hath not the Son of God hath not life. So we see that eternal life is only in Christ. It's only in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The one whom God has witnessed and declared to be in his eternal record, in his word, beloved. And we believe the record. By God-given faith, we believe the record that God has given of his Son. And we see it clearly and plainly brought forth here in verse 12. It states plainly that he who has the Son has life. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So the truth is that Christ, the Son of God, is life. He is the bread of life that came down from heaven. He's the bread of life. And in him is eternal life. He's the life of the believer. Listen to this in Colossians chapter 3. Just to back that up, Paul writes this. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. when Christ, who is our life, he's our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing. So let the words of verse 12 bless your soul, you who rest and trust in Christ. But let us also sound the warning forth that he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Hath not life. They're still dead in trespasses and sins. Still dead in trespasses and sins. And this is the record that God hath given us, beloved. That eternal life is in Christ, is in his Son. Oh, if you do not believe this, may God grant you faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, again we thank thee for the wondrous record in thy word of thy Son, the testimony that you give of your Son. Oh, and we who are believers, we believe the record only because of God-given faith, only because of the power of the Holy Spirit of God wrought in us, and because the Holy Spirit dwells in us. And we trust and rest in he who you bear record of, Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, our great Savior and our Redeemer. And, O Lord, we praise thee. We praise thee for coming to this earth and redeeming our souls, O Lord, paying everything that God demanded. And you who knew no sin was made sin for us. Oh, our sins were imputed to thee, O Lord. And yet, in your life and in your death, you are totally spotless, sinless. And you died just for the unjust. We marvel and we praise thy mighty name. And you alone are our hiding place, Lord. You alone are our refuge, your shelter from the storm, O Lord. Glory to your name. We praise thee and we love you because you first loved us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's close with a shelter in a time of storm. And that's what our King is. And that's what our King is to us. Oh, he's a shelter in the time of storm. Let's sing 263. Shelter in the time of storm. And let's just stand up and sing this in closing. A shelter in the time of storm. The
Lord's our rock, in him we hide. A shelter in the time of storm, secure whatever ill betide. A shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land. A shelter in a time of storm. A shade by day, defense by night. A shelter in a time of storm. No fears alarm, no foes of fright. A shelter in a time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land. Shelter in a time of storm. The raging storms may round us beat. A shelter in a time of storm. We'll never leave our safe retreat. A shelter in a time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land. A weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land. A shelter in a time of storm. Oh, rock divine, oh, refuge dear. A shelter in